Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
It is that time of the week.
It is,
ladies
indeed.
And gentlemen, boys and girls, happy Throwback Thursday.
Children of all ages!
Hey, man, we're going to sing a little song for you. We're going to do a little Throwback Thursday.
I was going to announce like I was Barnum. Like, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages.
Oh, that's like a Jim Dale.
Was it really? I didn't realize I was doing Jim Dale. That's a horrible Jim Dale.
It was just because you were, it was like British.
Because so it was a like... faux British accent.
Why how are you? We're together again for the first time.
Together again for the first time.
I'm excited.
No singing at Shelter Studios.
We just got done doing a couple...
No singing in this room. That's what they tell us.
We just got done doing a couple interviews for the last 2 days.
We've
got some real exciting things to share with y'all.
Hey, speaking of interviews,
I mean,
this week, Inga Svensson?
She was fantastic. I don't know why I want to do that with a Swedish accent. Not Swedish. I always thought she was.
See,
she's not. I mean, her parents are, but she.
I grew up watching Benson,
yeah.
And I thought that she actually was of German descent.
She
and
played
had the
Rose's
accent.
Sister from, you know, the Swedish part of Minnesota.
Let us reflect. So, folks, Inga Svensson is our guest this week. We were so happy to find her and locate
Thank
her.
Thank you, Kevin Daly. It was his idea. And then all of a sudden I said, I don't know. Is she still around? And then he got her phone number from, like, the white pages online.
Yeah, so happy. And
fantastic.
So happy she agreed to an interview.
Yes.
She was so charming and so wonderful. And go on YouTube. Go down on Inga Svensson rabbit hole.
Do
and
it.
If you have Antenna TV, that's a cable channel. It's a cable channel. The Benson, which she is on there all the time. Okay. Or go on to Logo and wait for the Golden Girls episode where Holly, Rose's horrible
the
sister,
mean
shows
sister,
up.
Sister, yeah.
Who doesn't invite Rose to things.
That's right.
B. Arthur gets angry at Betty White.
I know.
It's like, Rose, stop it.
Shut
Give
up,
Give Holly
Rose.
A chance. I'm sorry if you're jealous.
That's pretty good.
Then those shoulder pads leave
yep,
the room.
And she like... God, her closet was just, she had so many outfits.
I was like, for a bunch of ladies living in Miami on
Dear
a budget,
God. Wow.
You're all doing pretty good fashion-wise. I'm not going to get my Coumadin this week. Instead, I'm going to buy this lovely silk scarf.
Cheesecake.
Hey, that cheesecake budget must have been amazing. Hey, Broadway news is coming out, friends. Don't forget, there's a bunch of big things happening. Right?
What?
Well, did you know that they just announced a revival of American Buffalo?
No.
Just came out while we were doing an interview. It's going to be in March 2020.
Another American Buffalo?
I can't.
I just saw Haley Joel Osment do it like 7 years ago or something that.
It's going to be Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Rockwell.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think I need to see another production of American Buffalo.
That's interesting.
Didn't they do one with Cedric the Entertainer?
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
It was Haley Joel Osment.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
And John Leguizamo was in that one?
Probably.
Everyone and their mother has been in American Buffalo.
Goodness.
And then it says The Devil Wears Prada is going to play Chicago in a pre-Broadway engagement next summer.
Yeah.
Elton John, Paul Rudnick, and your favorite, Shayna Taub.
I do love a good Shayna Taub.
Have you ever seen the movie The Devil Wears Prada?
I did when it first came out, but I have not recently. I probably should check it out again.
You know what's horrible? I'm a horrible gay. They're going to take my gay card away. I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
It's Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep.
That's, I mean, hello. It doesn't get any better.
And sad news.
I was just going to say
it. You take it.
No, Phyllis Newman has left the world, or this world at least. That's sad. She was on our list. We were communicating, and we were hoping that she would get better, and we could have a chat with her. I'm not to say that her legacy is well known, and she's done so much for our community with her women's health initiative. But boy, I mean, what a loss!
She was an absolute special one, an absolute special one. And like you said, we were trying to get her for the show, and we came close a couple of times, and her health just wasn't strong enough to sit down for an interview. But I will say, what I love about her is she. Anytime we did something at 54. Below that involved her daughter, or we did a concert
like
once,
there.
And we did a song from Pleasures and Palaces, which was a Frank Lesser show that closed out of town that she starred in. She came and she talked about it.
It's incredible.
She was a really special individual, but like you said, Phyllis Newman Women's Health Initiative has done so much for this community. It's absolutely ridiculous. So we are sad that we did not get her, but we're happy that her wonderful performances live on in countless recordings. So go take a listen to Phyllis
Newman. And Mad Woman of Central Park West on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch the Mad Woman of Central Park
West. And you can watch listen to Rob's analysis of it from A Favorite Things from like 2 years ago.
Maybe we don't have to do that.
Maybe we'll just
honor and watch.
I have to talk about this past weekend because I went to the Ren Fair.
Oh, God.
And that was my favorite thing from this past week. And, you know, I was very excited to see Don Juan and Miguel because, you know, I've been seeing them since I was like literally 16. But first thing that happened when I met them is that Don Juan, Miguel, the sidekick, he was like, I said, oh, you know, we did a podcast about you guys. And without skipping a beat, he said, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Someone just forwarded it to me yesterday of a fan of the... says our podcast is one of their favorite Broadway podcasts. And so forwarded it to Don Juan and Miguel. And then to which Don Juan said, oh, you guys do Broadway? I'm dating Ethel Merman's granddaughter.
What?
And I thought he was joking. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. He's like, no, really. I've been dating her granddaughter.
So, Don Juan, so I got your my, money's
I got
gone.
My Broadway fill at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. Oh, and a lot of people, I will say, reached out and said how much they love Ren Fairs.
When you say a lot of people, Kevin, can I get a number? Can I get names? It's so funny, Kevin, because usually when people reach out, they usually reach out to me first.
Shade.
It's so odd that all these people decided to bypass me and go right to you. How interesting.
Bypass you.
Bypass
I'll have you know I have podcast friends.
Yeah, are they all Don Juan and Miguel?
You stop it right now. I do. I really do. How dare you?
Our wonderful, fabulous
just because I'm
listener,
not so good at the Facebook.
John
I'm
Moss.
Not so good at the Facebook, but because some of us have to do Twitter, okay?
I don't do Twitter.
I know you don't.
I don't do Twitter.
I have friends on Twitter.
Good for you. I don't have no friends on Twitter.
Trying to justify my life.
John Moss, our favorite listener, said, not our favorite listener. John, you know we love you. But we don't play favorites. John texted me after last week's My Favorite Things and said, he goes, I hope you guys listen to this in 20 years. He's like, because you guys sound like SCTV characters. To which I said to John, I said, that's actually the greatest
compliment
I could ever get. I could ever receive because I love SCTV.
Oh, that's great. You have like all the whole series.
I
on
do.
Your shelf.
I love that
I
show so
it
much.
Yeah. My gosh.
Well, the best actually, Andrea Martin used to show up there as Phyllis Newman. She would do a Phyllis Newman impression.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, well, that's specificity.
She won't do our show, but she'll do that. I mean,
one day. Maybe she'll change her mind.
Dream.
Andrea Martin, please change your
we
mind.
Can dream.
Come join us. Okay, so we are going to talk about some favorite things.
Let us do it.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because my favorite thing
was... Because you have more Twitter followers. That's how we're ranking it now.
Yeah, I have to have one in order to have them.
So mine
was actually inspired by by one of our guests from yesterday, actually.
Oh, really?
We do research, and then sometimes after I'll do research.
You know we do research. That might be a surprise to you.
You guys know we do. But sometimes after meeting the individual, I actually get more inspired to do more research on them.
Sure.
Just because I think, oh, my goodness, I thought I knew about you. But then So one of our guests yesterday was Maura Yeston. And this is a man who has had, as far as his Broadway shows, he hasn't had a hugely prolific Broadway musical career. I mean, the three shows that he's had on Broadway that are musicals, two of them won the Tony Award, and the third was very, very successful. The two that won the Tony was Nine and then Titanic. Then the successful one is Grand Hotel, where he added. I mean,
it's kind of like Frank Lesser
that's territory. A pretty damn good track record,
yeah.
You know? I mean, this is over decades of writing, and he does so many other things. But it got me to thinking of the other shows that he's done. You know, his Phantom that he did with Arthur Copit never made it to Broadway, but is hugely successful outside of that. And he did Death Takes a Holiday off Broadway many years ago. But one of the albums that he has that is a perfect representation of the quality of this man. Because a lot of us think of Maura Yeston, I think, sometimes as this great musician, because he literally wrote the book on music theory, and he taught at Yale for all those years as his PhD and all of that. But he's a great wordsman. He writes great words as well.
Yes.
He writes his own lyrics. And so I think a great representation of the kind of work that he does, in addition to the Titanic album and the Nine albums, is the Maury Yeston songbook that came out on PS Classics in 2003, and that is my favorite thing this week. It's an excellent recording. I think it is very well orchestrated, very well arranged. The songs that are on it are some of his popular songs, but they're also songs that you maybe don't know that you should know. They represent all of his shows. So it represents, you know, Grand Hotel that has I Want to Go to Hollywood, sung by Sutton Foster. What I love also is that 2003 is very much our era, I want to say, because I'm sure you graduated college somewhere around there. And
2005.
I graduated in 2002. But like that time period, we were just such sponges. So the people on the album are very like, over, like Alice Ripley, Brian D'Arcy James, Brent Barrett, Howard McGillin, previous guest, Robert Cuccioli, Laura Benanti sing together. So some of the songs that you want to check out, I mean, the whole album is, you want to listen to the entire thing. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes.
What's your favorite? Oh, sorry, I was going to ask your
question. Well, one of my favorite songs is actually, I remembered, I thought, oh gosh, he mentioned it, the show that he had written called In the Beginning, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the first five books of the Bible in sort of like a comedic approach. But one of the best songs from it was a more serious song called New Words that is on Stephen Sondheim's list of songs that I wish I had written. And I was listening to it on the way in today, actually. And of course, my life has changed now because I have a child. I have a son. But listening to this song about a father teaching a parent teaching their child new words and like learning the word love, learning the word stars, learning the word, you know, just being inspired by your own child is really, it's a superb song. And I would say listen to that because it's a lesser known song, but it is a well-crafted, beautiful song lyrically and musically. So I would listen to New Words. But it's got, I mean, the album has Betty Buckley singing all these great tunes. I mean, it runs the gamut of what Maury Yeston can do, from more art songs, like from his December Songs, which is more arty kind of songs like By the River. And then also, of course, the songs from Nine, Grand Hotel and such, and Phantom, of course. But it's great. Excellent. And then if you like any of the songs, young listeners and older listeners, but who are auditioning or what have you, there's sheet music. There was a songbook that was released, so you can get all of the sheet music as well for these. So I would encourage listeners to go to the Maury Yeston songbook. You can buy the CD, old school, or go to Spotify or Apple Music and check it out.
Is that your favorite Maury Yeston song, New Words?
I would say definitely one of them. I think melodically, musically, No Moon, that from Titanic, No Moon, No, and Nothing to Spy, Things By. I think that's a beautiful song.
Interesting.
Yeah. His music, I'm a piano player, as you guys know, but when you play his music, he has this sort of, you know, every writer writes in a different way, and his music has this sort of flow to it. Like the right and left hands always have like a undulating back and forth pattern. I don't know how else to describe it, but the way he plays the chords, they're always like arpeggiated in a way. So there's a distinctive style that I love about his music that is very flowy. It's I don't know how to describe it, almost like a Philip Glass type thing where the chords repeat over and over again and you can feel those changes. And I think, yeah, so I like all of his music, really.
My favorites are Unusual Way.
Brian D'Arcy James sings that on this album.
Really?
Yeah, it's great to hear. It's fun to hear a male voice do it too. And it's like, it's stunning.
But for me, one of my favorite, it's compositions of his, which I sense chills down my spine every time I listen to it, is the Overture to Nine, when it's all of those women.
And to hear him describe it to us and how he created that, I mean, oh my goodness.
It's just fabulous.
Absolutely. They are the overture. I mean, they are literally the orchestrated.
Yeah.
You know?
If you've not listened, folks, just go to Nine, the cast album, on Apple Music or Spotify. You can listen to the original or the revival. I prefer the original. And
although the revival, the original, they had a really tough time recording it. I believe they did it all like in one day, and it was kind of messy. So you can hear it all, and it's stunning. But it's the sound quality is better in that revival as well.
The sound quality is better in the revival.
But it's more raw than
the original.
Yeah, I agree.
And you
with
can
that.
just play track one overture, and you'll be in good shape.
And you hear his his brilliance. This is a very, very smart mind.
Yes,
as far as as composition goes.
Yes,
and the fact that he wrote that all out. I mean, like it's very well done. He's very.
Agreed.
He's smart. So
agreed.
Yeah, Mari Yestin's songbook is my favorite.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I love that. Well, my favorite thing is actually kind of inspired by something Maury was talking about yesterday. One of the things that Maury was talking about yesterday was the Lemon Engel BMI workshop. But more specifically, a guy who was in the workshop with him, and that was Ed Kleban, who's probably best known for writing the lyrics of A Chorus Line. And a show that I've been listening to a lot lately, and it's I looked at it, I was like, oh, we've never done this as a favorite thing, and I find that so surprising. I thought we would have covered it at some point, is A Class Act.
We haven't done that as a favorite thing?
I looked, and I didn't see it anywhere. So, folks, if we are wrong, me know. Did you I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. So A Class Act, for those of you that are unaware, is a autobiographical musical about Ed Kleban, who was the lyricist of A Chorus Line and who died at a very young age. He died at 48 years old in the mid-1980s. And Ed Kleban's life was so interesting. He was a guy who he got A Chorus Line on, and nothing really after that, and nothing before that.
Kind of famously.
And he had all of these beautiful songs because he was a composer as well, and he didn't want to be just known as a lyricist, he was a composer as well. He had all these beautiful songs, and he left them to a group of individuals and said, listen, my only hope is that when I die, that you take these songs and put them in a musical somewhere for me. And so it was left to a woman named Linda Klein, who was his lover in the last years of his life. And she took them to Lonnie Price, a former podcast guest, and said, I think we should do something with these. And they played around with the idea of writing an original musical in which they could shoehorn the songs into the story. And then they came up with the idea, what if we just did an autobiographical musical about Ed's life, and that's how we use these songs. You listen to this musical, and it feels so natural. It doesn't feel like songs that were shoehorned into, because we've seen that before. And I don't want to say, I mean, I hate to use this as an example, but look at something like Mamma Mia, where, you know, you have to put these songs in. And it doesn't feel organic. And half the fun, though, is finding, like, the weird line that they sing to bring in.
Like, Chiquitita, tell me what's wrong. Like, that's your nickname. But what I found interesting was Maury was explaining to us, you know, the Portraits musical that
Gallery.
Gallery. And he was saying, oh, yeah, like Scintillating Sophie. And I know the context of the songs from A Class Act. So I thought I got a kick out of hearing the original context because they work so well in this musical format that Lonnie helped create.
Exactly. And so it's really interesting. A Class Act came to Broadway, and
I saw it.
I'm going to go back a little bit.
Theater Club.
It was at Manhattan Theater Club first, and it was only there for a couple of months, and it starred Randy Graff, a former guest. It starred Jonathan Freeman, Carolee Carmello, Julia Murney, Nancy Anderson. An eight-person cast, a very small...
But not long... Was Lonnie playing the lead then?
Lonnie was playing the lead. So here's what's interesting. So Lonnie was doing, they were doing the show at Manhattan Theater Club, and when in rehearsals, the actor that they had cast I can't remember his name. He went off to do a television series, and Manhattan Theater Club was like, "Well, what do we do now?" And these and Lynn Meadow said, "Lonnie, you need to play this role." So Lonnie put himself in the show while writing the book and directing it. And it's a new musical, by the way. It's not a revival. Mm-hmm. But he came up with a very brilliant idea. He said, "I need a really strong associate director to be watching what's doing." He hired Stafford Arima, who's gone on to a nice big career for himself. Yeah. And he said, "I need somebody to stand in so I can direct that person as the lead, and then I'll jump in and do it." Who did he hire? Danny Burstein.
Oh, okay. Not too bad.
Not too shabby, folks. Yeah. Not too shabby. This tiny little musical, which is about Ed Kleban's life, which people, I think, thought might be like too inside baseball. Do you know what I mean? Like who...
Yes.
A musical about the Lemon Angle Workshop and this guy who wrote a chorus line. Like, what's going on?
There's like a song called Charm Song.
Ended up being this incredibly beautiful theatrical.
Intimate, beautiful very theatrical. Sweet and like a little love letter to what it's like to get into a room with the lights down and everyone's together to, like they say at the ending and the beginning, because it's sort of posited as like the memorial service for Ed.
That the conceit is everyone's going to Ed's memorial and Ed returns to the memorial.
And they kind of give you, and they don't really, from what I remember, Rob, and you're going to know much more they don't hide. He was a bit neurotic, and even people we've talked to that knew Ed, like they were always like, "Oh yeah, he was great," but he was
hypochondriac, depression issues,
personality, and
institutionalized a few times. Yeah. Could not really keep collaborators,
and they didn't shy from that. Character's like, "You didn't even talk to me at the end. The last year, you didn't talk to me."
It shows him warts and all. The show was so successful, it moved off to Broadway to the Ambassador Theater in 2001. It played for about a couple of months, and then it closed. A Class Act was one of those shows that came out in the same season as Producers and Full Monty, and then right after was 9/11.
Yes.
And so I think there's a whole swath of wonderful shows. I've mentioned this before, things like Sweet Smell of Success, Thou Shall Not, A Man of No Importance, that sort of just got swept away because of the juggernaut of the producers and the tragedy of 9/11. And I think it's nice to go back and revisit. You have a wonderful, beautiful cast recording and some great songs to listen to. You're like, "Oh, I didn't know that Ed Kleban wrote that." Things like Better, which is actually in The Mad Woman of Central Park West, starring Phyllis Newman.
"I've been rich, I've been poor.
Rich is better. I've been naughty, I've been nice. I've been naughty once or twice. I've been naughty once or twice."
No, that's
sorry.
Not it.
"Twice is better." Sorry, folks.
Killed
sorry,
it.
Ed.
Totally.
Gauguin's Shoes.
One of my favorite songs is Under Separate Cover. I think that is Carly Carmella, Under Separate Cover. So good.
Mine that makes me like weep like a baby, especially when Randy Graff sings it, The Next Best Thing to Love. So take a listen to that. So anyway, mine is a Class Act. It's a show that I hope comes back in some shape or form someday. I love it. I love it. So take a listen to a Class Act.
And then listen to a Maury Esten songbook.
Yes. Oh my gosh, what a great time. It's an Ed Kleban celebration for the next couple of my favorite things. All right. Till next time. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.